And the next reading is 2 Peter 1:16-21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. But we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand as you are able for the reading of our gospel. From Matthew chapter 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. When I first came to visit Bethany last August, before you called me as your pastor, I shared with many of you part of my faith story. And the faith story that I'm thinking of particularly today is that moment when faith found me, when the Holy Spirit knocked, when something inside me was changed. The long story short version of this is that I was in my car in Seattle traffic talking to myself about a very particularly not healthy romantic relationship. And somehow, for no particular reason, I didn't feel alone. It didn't feel like I was talking to myself, but rather that someone was listening. And after checking my back seat and seeing no one there, I was faced with the recognition that I was experiencing God. And that was really freaky. Since I had been outside of faith in the church for so long, I never expected to have a God experience. I had heard about them. When I was first losing my faith, when I was a young teenager, I listened to dozens of faith stories that sounded a lot like these words from Matthew. I heard from family members who had experienced the skies opening up, large clouds coming in. I heard stories of God's voice speaking. I heard stories that seemed totally foreign to anything I had experienced. And in my years outside of the church, I heard stories of faith too. Most of these stories came from people who weren't trying to convince me of anything, but rather were sharing pieces of themselves. And I'd listen and think, gosh, that must be nice. Or if I was particularly bratty that day, it might be something more like, gosh, that must be nice. But something that I learned after my own experience of God is how important it is that we do share these faith stories. How important it is for us to share with others the ways in which we experience God, whether that experience be dazzling and awe-inspiring like the transfiguration of Jesus, or that experience is quiet, subtle, or even a little scary. Looking back on those stories shared with me, They were leaving breadcrumbs of faith for me to follow. And the stories that were quiet and subtle and most like mine were the ones I kept pointing back to while I wrestled with my own experience. Because for me, my first God experience was of the second sort. There was no voice, no bright light, no skies opening or clouds appearing. It was just me in my car with a realization that I wasn't alone. And I couldn't explain it, and I really wasn't happy about it. It really did scare me. I felt like the disciples in Matthew. I wonder if I hadn't been driving, would I have fallen to the ground? Would I have thought about what was actually happening? Because the truth is, sometimes when we experience God, when we are faced with the divine presence, it is scary. It's new, it's different, and often when we recognize God's presence, we're recognizing that suddenly everything isn't up to us. We aren't doing this on our own. And sometimes we'd rather be hurting or fail on our own than recognize that we aren't alone. We'd rather trust ourselves or our own thoughts and opinions over God's calling. And unlike me, in my first experience, the disciples in our story today already had faith in some shape or form. They followed Judaism and Jesus as their teacher. They were beginning to figure out who Jesus was. And just before these verses in Matthew's, they had just said that Jesus was Messiah, Son of God. So in some ways, they shouldn't be so surprised by what's happening in front of them. But right away, they weren't afraid. When Jesus begins to sparkle, when he begins to dazzle, when he begins to shine brightly, the disciples see him there with Moses and Elijah, the rock stars of the Old Testament, mind you. They are excited, and even the disciple Peter is all about it, and he's pretty sure he gets it. Peter says, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwelling places here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter always makes me laugh, because even though he is the rock that Jesus will build the church on, he really never seems to get it. Sometimes we'd rather trust ourselves and our own thoughts and opinions over God's calling, and Peter was no exception. Peter sees Jesus there with Moses and Elijah and assumes that this is the climax of the story. This is it. And now it's time for Jesus to stay right here with these biblical heroes. And Peter can be a hero himself by building these dwelling places. Places for people to gather, to worship, to pray, to experience God. It's not what God is going for right now. Sometimes we experience God and we're not sure what to make of it. Sometimes we don't recognize what God is actually doing. Sometimes it's only in looking back that we can really see. Because before Peter can even finish making his suggestions and his plans, God himself interrupts Peter. Suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from a cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And now the fear sets in for the disciples. They fall to the ground afraid. Because even though they know Jesus and they've experienced miracles with him, and his transfiguration, his change into something new and different in front of them was exciting, maybe they hoped that it meant that their journey was coming to an end, that their faith had served them well. But when a cloud comes over them and they hear the voice of God, suddenly this moment of Moses and Elijah and a Jesus shining like a star becomes more than just another miracle. They begin to see that this is God truly with them, and they are experiencing God in a way they never have before. And they don't know what to do. But Jesus comes and touches them. Jesus comforts them in their shock and tells them to get up and do not be afraid. He tells them not to tell anyone what happened until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. After all of this, after seeing Jesus transform, seeing him standing with Moses and Elijah, after hearing God, God's self, tell them that Jesus, that this man shining in front of them is in fact the Son of God, after hearing God tell them that they should listen to Jesus, I wonder if maybe, just maybe, Peter gets it. Because sometimes when we experience God, we don't know what to make of it. And sometimes it's only in looking back that we can really see and really share what it was that we experienced. I talk about my moments where faith found me often, which makes sense since it's a big part of my story. But to say that I didn't experience God before that quiet moment in my car, I don't know if that's fair. Because the truth is, in looking back, although there weren't experiences where I was awe-inspired or scared, even though I didn't experience the skies opening up or clouds appearing, even though in those moments I didn't feel God's presence, when looking back, I can think of so many different occasions where God was so clearly there. God was there with me in the times that were bright and easy. God was there with me in the times of darkness and sadness. God was there in the moments of silence when I cried by myself. God was there in the joy I found outside in nature. God was there in the voices of those around me who reminded me that I was loved, who encouraged me, and who guided me on these different paths. God was there in the humor I found when I was forced to go to church with my mom. And God was there with me in my angsty huffing and puffing while I sat in the back of the sanctuary. God was there when I was nowhere near a church. And God was there in the prayers that others had for me and the prayers I never would have said aloud. I didn't see it. Sometimes we'd rather trust ourselves or our own thoughts and opinions. Sometimes we just aren't ready to see what God is doing. But when we look back and see all the ways that God has been working in our lives, we get to share that with others. And Peter is no exception. In Peter's letter that we read today in 2 Peter, he talks about being an eyewitness to God's majesty. He summarizes what we read in Matthew, the glory of God on the mountain, the words from God naming Jesus, naming him Son, naming him Beloved. Peter shares as a witness, as a disciple who experienced God in looking back. Peter was able to understand and share what it was that he experienced. And as we look forward, this week begins our Lenten season with Ash Wednesday, and my hair is changing to purple, and I am so excited. But more than just the color change, something that we look towards in Lent, in this journey together, this journey of faith that we are on, we look at Jesus and his journey to the cross. During our Wednesday services, we will hear different stories of faith, different experiences of God, some like Peter's sharing of God's glory and honor, and some of those quiet moments in fear where God is working. There are so many different ways we experience God. Sometimes we experience God in the moment, and sometimes it's only in looking back. But when we look back on our experiences and we share the ways that we as men and women have been moved by the Holy Spirit, as Peter says in our reading today, we attend this lamp that shines in the dark places. And maybe this is new or different for you, but when we recognize and share God's presence, we recognize that it's not up to us, that we aren't doing this on our own, that it is the Holy Spirit, it is God at work around us and through us. And when we attend this lamp, when we share the light it shines, we share love and mercy, we share Jesus. Jesus shining brightly, human yet divine, the Son of God and the Son of Man who came into this world in order to save this world, in order to light our lamps in the dark places so that we can experience God with us, the God who loves us, the God who gives God's Son for us, for our forgiveness and for our salvation. And we share our stories, we share these words from Scripture, the witnesses of those who came before us, and we share our own witness. Because we know that as we journey with Jesus to the cross, as he takes on sin and death, as Jesus brings us mercy and life, we know that the Son of Man does rise from the dead for us and for all. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen.